now we're part of the strategy. Gone. Development, it's all we envelop in telefriend, a wealth of intelligence. Unless you're selfishly embellishing all of the championships, basking it in, let's study in the conferences, Pac-12 and Big 12 and the 10, SEC, ACC, win. It just kind of fades from there, that's good. Yeah, they said like a minute, so.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome everybody into the second episode of the Debbie Owner's Manual. I am Dwight Peebles, and I'm joined by my co-host, Andrew Harbaugh. How are you doing tonight, Andrew?
Good. How are you, Dwight?
I am fantastic, man. This is take two. Yesterday's was probably better, but we'll see if we can top it. You know, never can top the one that gets lost. But then I want to send a thanks out to Chris and Adam for getting us on our way. They were in the Dynasty Owner's Manual and taking us under their wings and now are letting us fly. So first off, for this week's show, we're going to start with a weekend recap. So, Andrew, what was your takeaway from Ohio State's shocking loss to Purdue?
I would say my two biggest takeaways are emotion can play a big part in a win. I think that is one of the main reasons Purdue was able to pull off their domination, really, of Ohio State. ESPN had the segment with the kid going through cancer and the team rallying behind him, and I think really played a big, big part of everyone stepping up their game and really overperforming what a lot of people expected for sure. Beating Ohio State by 20-plus points doesn't happen very often, especially in the Urban Meyer era now. Another big thing, I think, too, was that Purdue defense pressure and Dwayne Haskins. We were able to see how he performed under pressure. He got a little bit of pressure against the TCU down in Dallas when they traveled down there, but he was still able to overcome it. But Purdue this time was just too much for him. I think that's going to affect his draft stock a little bit as far as what teams will see, just because if he goes to a team where the offensive line's not that great, he is going to be hit. And then how he responds, he's got to learn to just bounce back and have a short-term memory that all quarterbacks need to develop.
Right. The team like Ohio State, they don't get a lot of that adversity, it feels like. And he hasn't had a lot of adversity up until this point, and it's definitely something in the NFL he's going to have to deal with. So it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back, because they always have a worse second half of the season, it seems like. They start off the first, you know, the season with those first couple really tough games, and then as the Big Ten slog gets along, they definitely feel a little more. So that'll be interesting to see how he reacts to that with Michigan coming up. And, you know, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back.
I think they could have been looking ahead to Michigan too. I think that's something a lot of teams suffer from. Now, on the flip side of that, last week with my bold prediction of Clemson getting upset with Ryan Finley, that didn't happen. And that Clemson defense really showed what everyone's been waiting for, and they had their first real dominant performance of the year. You want to talk about that a little bit, Dwight?
Right. I didn't expect it to be quite that bad, because everybody knows about the defensive line that has three guys that are probably going to be drafted in the first top 20, 25 of the draft. So it's always been that, and they have a couple good linebackers and a couple good defensive backs too. But they've been susceptible a little bit. They can't get to the quarterback. So I was expecting NC State to put up a little bit of a fight, but I think Clemson's just getting their claws sharpened, baby. It's going to get down to the nitty gritty. And I think they're getting geared up for that playoffs. What did you see from Finley in the game? Did you see, how did he react to the pressure?
I saw a lot of bad, which this whole quarterback class has been doing a lot of bad, which we'll dive into here in a little bit. I think the bigger picture to look at though is, and this is going to be scary for anyone who has a team on the fringe of being good that they root for in the next couple of years. Clemson's young, and their offense is really clicking now. Lawrence had his first 300-yard passing game. Etienne didn't have a lot of yards, but he was able to snag the scores. He's going to always get his touchdowns, it seems. He's never going to miss out on that. That whole defensive line really just dominated the last scrimmage from the first snap, not letting Finley breathe. And that offense, Lawrence and everyone in company, just jumped all over it and rode that momentum. At the halftime, it was over with. I was watching the game, and the person I was watching it with, I said, is there anything else you want to watch? Because I've seen enough for me at this point. And I think a lot of people felt the same way.
Right. It is scary thinking Lawrence is just getting started. Etienne's got another year, and they always seem to churn out a couple good wide receivers in there. And it's not a guarantee, I think, of the defensive line. I can't see this. I was trying to pull up it offhand, but they all don't have to leave next year. So they could technically one stay in, and they could just be loaded for years. And now it's time to check on the stock market here, the Devy Owner's Manual. So, Andrew, this week, who are you buying and selling? Who's up for you and who's down?
Well, if you ask my wife, I'm not good at managing money. So as far as my stocks go, though, I will say a big stock up, and this is somebody who I mentioned in the first episode I wanted to see respond, was A.J. Brown, wide receiver out of Ole Miss, with his teammate D.K. Metcalf going down with the season-ending neck injury and his draft up in the air more if he'll declare or not declare. A.J. Brown, and along with several other receivers, and Keel Harry from Arizona State, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford, had the opportunity to get their names out there and have a big, impactful performance. And even though Ole Miss lost this weekend, A.J. Brown still was able to pull in 10 balls, have 155 yards through the air, and one touchdown, and including one fantastic stop on a dime on the end zone that made the defender look silly. I think A.J. Brown's starting to gain a little bit momentum as to what people were expecting coming into the year. I think being on a bad Ole Miss team doesn't help. Also being in the SEC West doesn't help. But he's finally starting to able to play a little bit better against a pretty decent Auburn defense. I would like to keep continuing to develop from there. As far as my stock down, I kind of highlighted this a little bit a second ago. 2019 quarterback class. I'm becoming very frustrated the more I watch and the more I see as the season progresses. Jared Stidham is looking like he might be the one now if Herbert stays. It might be Finley's not going to be in there now. Haskins, if he declares, but he doesn't have to necessarily, he may pull a Mitchell Trubisky and be like, hey, I got one good year and it's a weak class. We'll go from there. I just need somebody to jump out and take advantage of this and be able to say, hey, if Herbert doesn't want to be the one this year, which I think is silly if he doesn't declare, he doesn't want to be the one, I'll gladly take that money. Because teams always like to reach for quarterbacks in the draft. There's always quarterback needy teams. We saw it in that 13 draft class with E.J. Manuel and Geno Smith. Even though Geno was a second-round pick, probably still shouldn't have been that high. So it'll be interesting to see how they all play out when the time comes.
Right. And as we say that, as we say this, though, Will Grier is destroying Baylor, so which you'd hope he would. As far as for me this week, I was really surprised to see, and it's been slowly rising throughout the season. With the rise of Tua has also been the rise of Jerry Jeudy, the wide receiver at Alabama. He's always shown flashes of talent. He was highly sought after recruit, as most Alabama are. But you just see the route running, the dominance he's playing, and he's facing cornerbacks that are going to be in the NFL. To see him assert himself and then have a good quarterback that actually can get it to him, I think he will end up going really high when he comes out. And as far as down, the Ohio State defense just absolutely threw up a big stinker this weekend. They have a couple linebackers that are potential pro prospects. Malik Harrison actually had a pretty decent game. He had 10 tackles and a sack, but Pete Warner, Jordan Fuller is a highly sought-after safety, and then Kendall Sheffield was probably going to be probably a first-round pick cornerback, and they all just looked exposed. And like you said before, the momentum, the emotion played a part in Purdue playing so well, but Purdue is not that talented to expose a top defense like Ohio State is supposed to be.
20 points.
Yeah,
not by 20 points.
Purdue's got some talent, but not that much talent. So it was definitely kind of a shock to see. And missing Bosa is obviously a big thing, and it would make it a lot different. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he would have had a little bit more of a say in it, but I mean, I don't think Bosa covers 20 points for him.
No.
I still think it was just one of those flash in the pans, Haley's Comet sort of games, which every top team has, it seems. Except Alabama, unfortunately.
And Purdue's won four straight, so they're definitely look like they're coming around. So,
and speaking of Alabama, I didn't get to talk to you about this yet, Dwight. We haven't talked that much in the past week since the last show. Did you see the Devin White ejection by chance?
I haven't seen much of the effect that the pro game has had and how flaky it is to hit a quarterback now. I haven't seen it on the college level like that.
Same.
It, to see like such a chintzy hit result in an ejection and then also missing part of the Alabama game as well. I mean, it was probably not, it wasn't a, a clean hit, but it definitely wasn't a bad hit. You know, it was one of those probably right on the border of could have been called, but I hate that they clipped the defensive guy's wings so bad. And it's just going to give a, it's going to give a chance. The LSU guys have, they've always churned out some pretty good defensive players, particularly linebackers. So it'll give a chance in the Alabama game for Jacob Phillips to stand, to step up and be that, you know, inside linebacker that roves all over the field and makes all the plays. He does have 53 tackles this year, 34 of them are assists, but it's, it'll give him a chance to shine, and they're going to need to against Alabama. So it'll be curious to see how they react. It'll help fire LSU up. Some other news that really caught everybody's ear this week and was kind of a surprise to me was Justin Herbert saying he might stay in school next year and not go into the draft. What do you think about that, Andrew?
I think when April, not he's going to have to declare before April, but I think when the time comes for him to declare and the draft evaluators through schools and different networks and everything project him as a top five pick in this draft, whereas I don't think he will be that next year. I think they'll realize, hey, there's a lot of money on the table. And in a sport like football, where we all know about injuries and long-term and short-term, you've got to get what you can get. And he might have 30-plus million reasons to leave school. There's always online classes. There's always going back in the summer. If you're working out there, I'm sure they'd welcome him back. It's tough, though, for him because he is an Oregon kid. His brother's coming onto the team next year as a tight end, as at Tim NFL pointed out to me as well. And I get that. Want to play with family, a big B1 school, and something you could talk about and have memories. But at the same time, you've got to take care of yourself and your future family and your future kids. I think at the end of the day, he will declare. Now, if he doesn't, this quarterback class is going to go down quicker than the Titanic, and not the movie, because that went down way too slow.
Yeah, and it's not only the money, but you just run the risk of injuring, of getting an injury also, like a potential career-ending injury, or it doesn't make sense at all for him to come back, in my opinion.
And now, speaking of injury as well, with Rashawn Gary, he's missed a couple weeks. I believe it's 3 weeks now, and they're saying he might even be out for the rest of the year. Does that shoulder concern you at all with him going over to the next level as far as a long-term issue, or do you think he'll be okay?
Oh, absolutely not, man. I think they're just playing it safe. They might be saving him up for the end of the season or the bowl season, and maybe he'll pull a Nick Bosa and just stay out just – to not risk it and to not take that chance. I don't think it affects his draft stock at all. He's a guy I'm not super high on, but I do realize the talent's there. I think you'd mentioned before, he'll go in the first round, but I think it will be in the latter half, just depending, because as far as the defensive linemen that are available, I put him, you know, sixth or seventh on the list, in my opinion. But it's not going to affect his draft stock at all. He's still going to be a very highly sought after player.
Yeah, I think the reason he's getting more publicity, you said you have him six or seven. He's one of those rare number one overall high school prospects who seems to be able to transition well to the pro ranks, which doesn't always happen. With that, too, I think them sitting Gary is just because that defense has been playing so well, which I'm sure you don't want to talk about too much. But
what are you talking about?
Don Brown at Michigan, that defensive front led by Chase Winovich and Devin Bush, and they've all been playing very, very well. I think it's probably the best defense in the country, if not second best, behind the way Alabama's been playing. But it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I think he'll be okay.
Absolutely. In our next segment this week, we're going to introduce a new segment that we're going to call the Helmet Stickers, basically. Probably come up with a more creative name than that, Pride Stickers or something. You know, every team seems to have one that always seems to be the biggest stick out is Ohio State, Florida State, that have the Buckeyes and the Arrowhead, the little stickers that go on your helmet. And they get those for a great game.
Michigan has a couple cool ones, too.
Why do you got to keep bringing up Michigan? Anyways. Georgia does too. Anyway.
Next week. All right, don't worry.
So every week we'll give a helmet sticker to the player that we thought brought the most to the team for this week. Andrew, who is your choice for sticker this week?
I think that Scott Frost cannot put one on Adrian Martinez, his quarterback's helmet quick enough for what he was able to do for him this past weekend and getting the windless monkey off his back. Martinez completely balled out, going 25 for 29, 276 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, and then adding on 125 yards on the ground with another touch. Over 400 yards of offense, 4 touchdowns from a very good freshman quarterback. Reminds me a little bit of Taylor Martinez from a couple years back, who was also a mainstay at Nebraska, who started out as a freshman phenom, but eventually started to fizzle out towards the end. Hopefully this Adrian Martinez will be able to be a whole long-term starter for Frost and his program and kind of get Nebraska back to where they used to be in the Tom Osborne days.
And for my choice, I'm going to go with the freshman wide receiver from Purdue, Rondale Moore, who absolutely had probably one of the better games that you'll ever see a wide receiver have against Ohio State. He plays primarily out of the slot. He's a smaller kid, but he is lightning fast. He's great return man. He's got almost 1,000 all-purpose yards this year. He has scored 8 times, but he had 2 scores against Ohio State. If you get a chance, watch the highlights in the second run that he had. He took a swing pass out of the backfield at about midfield, and it looked like they wrestled him, like they grabbed him and twisted him down, and he started to hit. He almost hit the ground, and he just popped back up and shot out of a scrum of like 4 Ohio State Buckeyes and just shot across the field. It was absolutely amazing to watch. You see the kid, he precise route runner out of the slot, and he's only a freshman. It's scary to think he's going to be a mainstay at Purdue for the next couple years for sure.
Yeah, he'll certainly grow too. I mean, like you said, he's a freshman. He'll get out some weight, add a little bit more height, and he could project next level very well by the time he rolls around as a junior or senior. Also, leading towards the future, I don't think we need to pay for a fortune teller to tell us who's going to win the Heisman this year, but I still think it's worth talking about just to highlight a couple players that I think are performing well and deserve an invite at least to New York. Dwight, is there any defensive players that could even deserve an invite this year? I know before the year there was talk of a couple players, and this might be the year for it, but do you think there's anyone?
Right. I think Ed Oliver is the only one who has a chance to even get invited. He's right now in most of the polls that I've seen, he's 4th. So I don't think he'll get there, but his dominance in the way he plays is unreal. His stats don't show like some of the bigger linemen. Like the other linemen at Clemson and Alabama will tend to put up the better stats because each of those guys face one lineman. Ed Oliver at Houston is playing double and triple teams every week, and he's still causing all sorts of pressure and havoc. And he's fun to watch, man. He's one of those guys you always know where he's at because there's just like people flying around him shoving him off. It's his strength and his motor is unreal. Well, you said that you think that it's pretty much in the bag. So who is it?
It has to be Tua. 25 touchdowns, no picks. Hasn't played a fourth quarter all year. That whole Alabama team's just rolling at this point. And I think they're going to be national champions by the time the whole year's done, unless they completely go off the tracks and get into their own heads too much. 2 players I want to highlight who I think are having very, very solid years. Dwayne Haskins out of Ohio State. Even though he had the bad game this past weekend, he still boasts 71% completion percentage, over 2,800 passing yards, 30 touchdowns. Only has 5 picks, even with all those pass attempts and yards, which is still very decent. It's just next to Tua with no picks. Everything looks bad. And then I know one of your guys you like as well, especially for the future to the next level, is Travis Etienne, the running back at Clemson. 800 yards on 98 attempts, 14 touchdowns. He, like I said, this past weekend, he only had 30 some yards, but he's had a couple scores, and that's what he's good for. And with any rookie quarterback in the NFL, Etienne's relieving pressure off of Trevor Lawrence as he develops and learns and becomes a better weapon for the offense. And as he develops, Etienne will develop because they won't be able to stack the boxes as much the more he develops as a passer. Any offensive players other than the 2 I mentioned that you would like to throw in there, Dwight?
No, I mean, 2 is pretty much a lock at this point unless everything goes totally off the rails, which I can't foresee happening. Yeah. And if you take away anything from this show and you want to anything, watch this kid play. I mean, it's impossible not to love him. He is the way he quarterbacks this team. I mean, I know he's got talent all around him and everything. He's got touch and just it's amazing to watch him. He makes throws that are unreal. He's a lefty too, which is pretty crazy. There's not many lefty quarterbacks that make it to the NFL in general. So he's fun to watch. You got to love Kyler Murray too, even though he's most likely going to be a professional baseball player. He's putting up some crazy stats at Oklahoma this year. And he's pretty much what I've seen. He's right there in the conversation with Haskins. I think him, Murray, Haskins, and Tua will ultimately get the invites to New York when it's all said and done. It's hard not to like what he does either, but even though he may never play at the NFL level, which is sad to say, he's fun to watch as well.
I think Murray would have more of a chance if they hadn't lost to Texas and they were still undefeated, just because he does have the numbers to be up there. It's just now the loss to and everybody else at this point.
So every week we also want to highlight strategy, because I started listening to the Dynasty Owner's Manual like when they first started, because I've known Adam and Chris both for quite a while, and I like the approach that they take. You know, they don't just highlight players and everything. They highlight strategies and ways to make yourself better at fantasy football in all different aspects. So we would like to also focus on the owning aspect of the Devy side of the game. We've been talking a lot about quarterbacks because honestly, I mean, quarterbacks are the money makers. They're the most important position in fantasy football. I mean, they're the ones that score all the points, it seems like. You have a good quarterback and you can mask a lot of other inefficiencies. There you go. On your roster by having good quarterbacks, especially in super flex. Quarterbacks, in college, they develop and the landscape changes so rapidly that a quarterback can come out of nowhere and into first round consideration in just one good season. So, Andrew, what is your strategy with Devy quarterbacks? Like, how many do you like to have on your roster?
I would like, if it's a standard league, I'd say one or two. Probably most people say only to have one no matter what, but I like to have two just because you might have that one matchup you really like. Superflex, I think if you can get four or five, you're only going to play two, but that's two or three that the person you're playing may not have, and they may have to scramble to find good replacements for them in that sense. I mean, if you can get more of that too, and you have a deep enough bench, I'd say utilize it all the way. Now, for you, Dwight, even though I'm fielding four or five quarterbacks, the hit rates on them between injuries and offensive transitions, and there's so many factors that go into quarterback position and play as well. What's your experience been on the hit rates with them?
I think most people know most quarterbacks drafted in the first round don't make it. The stat that I found was 9 of the last 47 drafted in the first 16 picks had only played more than one season, which is crazy. I've been meaning to look more into the actual stats of that, but from what I've experienced and what I've seen, like 1 in 4 probably hit, you know, become legitimate starting quarterbacks, which is, you know, it's crazy to think of. You know, this year we have Mayfield, Rosen, Darnold, Lamar Jackson, you know, Josh Allen. Anyways, those five, you know, that probably only one is going to make it. I think you could probably go with, will be legitimate starting quarterbacks. And so you want to try to get as many of those as you can, especially if you're building a team. You want to have as many on your roster as you can possibly do. If you have deep taxi squads, fill them up. Throw in 5, 6 quarterbacks there. Because eventually those quarterbacks, if they hit, they become very, very valuable. And you can use them to get anything you want if it's a super flex league. Basically, I've seen quarterbacks go for running, you know, top flight running backs and wide receivers and prospects and all that. The hit rate of a quarterback is not as good. But when they do hit, they're just infinitely more valuable than most other picks. But with all that being said, I mean, everybody knows about, you know, Tua and From. So are there any other quarterbacks that are catching your eye at this point, Andrew? Like, let's say 3 years down the road that nobody's really talking about yet, but will most likely be starting in the NFL someday.
I would say as early as next year, you could look at a couple names like Jacob Eason out of Washington. He transferred from Georgia this past year, and that's why he's sitting out. He was also, even if he was there, he would have been behind Jake Browning. going to graduate this year from Washington. I think next year he goes into that role and Christian Peterson finally gets the best quarterback he's had at Washington. And that offense will really explode with him, and he'll get to do a lot of what he used to do at Boise State. Some other ones, I think Francois, he will probably stay. He's only a junior. I don't see him declaring. I think he'll try to go for one more year out of Florida State. And then JT Daniels, who replaced Sam Darnold at USC. I really like him a lot. He's had a couple growing pains. 18, 19-year-old quarterbacks are going to have that. I think he'll eventually develop into one of the top prospects when it's time for him to come out. And then one last name that's already getting a little bit of traction, just because he's taken some snaps away from Fromm, just because Georgia, I think, is trying to do something a little bit different with their offense to get ready for Alabama, is Justin Fields, quarterback at Georgia. He kind of brings more of a runner's mentality to it, where Fromm's more of the passer at this point. That being said, the field is just as much of a passer as Fromm is. They're just utilizing him in a different way right now. So there's a lot more promising younger players than I'd say there are older players in Devy in college right now, which thank God for that, because I'm going to be starving after this quarterback draft for some good quarterback play.
Justin Fields is just as highly regarded as Trevor Lawrence was, and I mean, some had him above him, and he's just amazing to watch. You mentioned JT Daniels. I think Devy Watch had him this year in their report. They have a huge report they release every year. I think they had him as like the fourth overall quarterback prospect amongst all quarterbacks. So like, he's definitely highly sought after.
Yeah, the hype train's there.
Another couple names, Phil Jerkovich, who's playing at Notre Dame. He's just a freshman. He will likely be a really good down the line, but they don't have the best track record of turning out quarterbacks at Notre Dame. So I hope that changes, because he's a really exciting young kid to watch too. So now it's time for the weekend preview. I say that way because this is Andrew's time, baby. Andrew, what you watching this weekend, man?
I'm watching lots of games. One game in particular, though, will not be on the DVR. I'll be watching that as it happens, and that'll be my Florida Gators meeting the Georgia Bulldogs in Jacksonville. There's a lot of good prospects, and I have an article that will be coming out on Dynasty Happy Hour on Friday before the game, whenever you're listening to this, breaking down a couple players from each side, just to give you a little bit of a preview. I will be talking about some playmakers for Florida that can make a difference, and Jordan Scarlett, the running back, and Tyreek Cleveland, their wide receiver. Both had pro aspirations last year, and they showed it last year. Well, I guess Cleveland did. Scarlett missed last year for the same reason that Antonio Callaway did as well. And he's bounced back very nicely, and I think his draft stock's starting to get a little bit better. And Cleveland last year, his biggest thing was he caught the Hail Mary game-winning touchdown pass against Tennessee. He has that big playability. I'd like to see that this week against Georgia and their tough defense. Is there anyone from that game sticking out to you, Dwight, that you're interested to watch?
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in real quick on the Tyreek Cleveland. That's definitely a name you need to watch out for. He's immensely talented, and he has definitely went under the radar. He will probably be just like the same mold as Antonio Callaway, but for another reason. You know, he'll be kind of forgotten about a little bit, but if he gets the right team, he'll definitely give a chance to shine there. As far as defense, Georgia's hybrid type of role. He kind of nickel corner, kind of does a little bit of everything. He's definitely one of their key cogs on defense and will be a huge part of this game. And Florida's got one of the top defensive ends in the country, and Ja'Kai Polite is how I guess it's pronounced, if I had to guess. He's at 26 tackles, 7 sacks, and he's another one of those guys that just you kind of know where he's at all times by watching the tape. He's the one that's pushing the offensive lineman 7 yards downfield typically. He's another run that's really fun to watch, and just going to be a slugfest, man. This should be a fun game. I think Florida's getting back on the map as one of those teams that they used to be, you know, back in the, what was it, late 90s or whatever, when they were always in the top 5. So a good Florida is good for college football in general. So, yeah, I love it, man.
You're missing that part of history where the goat was playing down in the swamp. Anyway, I know you like defense, Dwight, and I know you like your Big Ten football, and I think you're going to have a good game as well to watch this weekend when Iowa travels to Happy Valley to take on the Nittany Lions. Is there anyone there you're looking to really watch and study?
You know, Iowa does not have like a standout defensive player that I can think of. They're definitely one of those teams that tends to churn out linebackers pretty well. They don't have like a standout team, but they just have one of those defenses that just everybody plays well together. And they're definitely fun to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how they contain Miles Sanders. It'll be interesting to see if Trace McSorley bounces back as well. He's another guy that, you know, he probably has a spot in the NFL. Is it one of those guys that'll just be a backup at journeyman quarterback? And so it'll be interesting to see. This is a game that Penn State's still in the running-ish for the Big Ten East, and the Iowa's definitely in the running for the Big Ten West. So it's got a lot of implications on the Big Ten race, maybe not the national title race. And then we got another game that should be interesting to watch that'll center around defense with Josh Allen. Andrew, you think Josh Allen and his crew can slow down Drew Lock in Missouri?
I think at this point, a slight breeze can slow down Drew Lock based on the way he's been playing. He came out of the toughest stretch of the year against Alabama and everybody else with less than impressive numbers. He had under 50% completion percentage in all the games that really everyone was gearing up and getting ready for, and they wanted to see him perform, because I think coming into the year, all the hype around Pat Mahomes also made hype for Drew Lock, who's another big quarterback. People keep trying to force feed down those comparisons, just like last year people were trying to force feed the Johnny Manziel comparisons to Baker Mayfield. And they're just not happening. It doesn't work that way. Lock has a giant arm, yes, but at the same time, his decision-making is just what's killing him. And also, the Missouri team in general has good weapons. That's not an excuse for him. It's just he's too erratic. And I think when he gets pressured by Josh Allen from Kentucky, who I know you really like a lot, according to your Twitter avatar at least. But I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Allen takes his lunch, eats it, and then follows him home, takes his dinner and eats it too, all in front of him.
Right. Drew Lock, he's one of those guys that I've heard a lot of talk about, and that he may actually be a better NFL quarterback than he is in college, but I just don't see it. And it, I think if he ever was, it would take 3 or 4 years of good coaching. Like, so I don't know. I have trouble investing in guys like that myself from a Devy standpoint.
It's one of those things. Maybe he gets on the right team and he doesn't have to play right away. Maybe, I know New Orleans has Teddy Bridgewater, but maybe he's gone next year and he goes and sits down for a year or two more behind Breeze and he gets pampered up by Sean Payton. Or he goes to Kansas City, backs up Pat Mahomes, gets Andy Reid coached up, and then he leaves for somewhere else. I mean, it could happen. Right. We can't say for certain he won't, but it's just all signs are not pointing towards it being very promising.
So, Andy, what's your upset of the week?
I have to go with the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. I think that's going to have the upset of the week when Florida somehow beats Georgia in their three-headed monster backfield, led by the son of the most underrated heavyweight champion ever, Elijah Holyfield. Him and DeAndre Swift, I hope, are able to be contained by Voshon Joseph and Ja'Kai Polite on the Florida defense that's playing very well and is very underrated in a very tough SEC. I hope Felipe Franks can contain himself and not make too many rash decisions where DeAndre Baker will just, again, use the term, eat his lunch and do a pick six or anything like that. I think the biggest X factor is going to be the quarterback play. I think Jake Fromm needs to have a bounce back from the LSU game, and Justin Fields needs to be utilized in that Swiss Army knife sort of way. And then Felipe Franks, it's all about the decision making, which Dan Mullen, I think, has gotten him to play above his potential compared to what he's done in the past. So it'll be interesting to see. It's fun that both teams are ranked inside the top 10 again. Florida came in the year not even ranked, so for them to be this far is fun. As a fan, at least. But the game in general, I think, is going to be very good.
I do have a little side bet. If you are wrong, as bad wrong this week as you were last week, I'm going to refer to you as little brother from now on.
Okay. That's fair. Considering last week, one of us was little brother.
I couldn't resist, man.
No, All right. That's fair.
All right. My upset of the week will stick right in the ACC, man. I think Syracuse is going to knock NC State right back on their tail where they were last week. Probably not as bad as Clemson did, obviously. Syracuse is a very, very good little team. They don't, you know, they're not going to ever get the recognition nationwide. They are actually 5-2. I thought they were 4-3 yesterday. 5-2. They took Clemson to the wire. They're definitely a team that, and they tend to play a lot better at home as well. And so it'd be interesting to see how, if Fenley can bounce back against, you know, Syracuse is definitely a defense that can be beaten. So it'll be interesting to see what he does and how he responds. And because he is one of the pro prospects that is probably destined for a first round pick unless things keep going the other direction. But I think he will bounce back, but it won't be enough. I think Syracuse has got him this week.
Yeah, no, Syracuse is an interesting team. They've been really playing very, very well, led by the quarterback, Aaron Dungy. I think they have a chance to beat NC State for sure. Like you said, they took Clemson to the wire. And I had written an article for Dynasty Happy Hour saying that I thought that week Syracuse upset Clemson. So I have a very good track record of being right with the game picks. So we'll see where we're at with next week. And then as far as the games we're watching, we've discussed. But who are some players not necessarily in those games, since we've already covered that, that you're really looking forward to watching, Dwight?
We'll stick right with the quarterbacks, man. It's, you know, the last week was a week where they all needed to step up and they all didn't. So I'd like to see how Drew Locke and Ryan Finley and Justin Herbert react. Like, they both, all three have pretty decent matchups, exploitable matchups that they should be able to have decent games against. So it will definitely be, I think it's critical. It's down to that point where I think we need to start thinking about the draft more, and they need to start thinking about their draft stock, and it's going to be more important that they do play well and they finish well and they bounce back and from the adversity. And what are three guys that are you're watching this weekend, Andrew?
Yesterday when we recorded, I did say Will Greer, who I would say bouncing back qualifies when you go 15 for 25, 350 yards and five touchdowns.
Oh yeah.
Four?
Oh, a lot.
A lot. Yeah. So I think he's already bounced back. So see, I'm not completely incompetent with my predictions. Running back for Wisconsin, everybody loves Jonathan Taylor. I want to see him perform well. He's finally starting to get rolling with the way he's been playing. And then Trace McSorley, like we talked about with Penn State, he's been a winner all through high school. He was a winner all through college. Not saying he's not a winner now, but they have two losses on the year, and he's never experienced that before. So I want to see if he keeps fighting or if it gets to him.
We do have some fan questions, which is so exciting to me, man. I love it. We're on our second episode. We've already got fans. I've got more fans than I've ever had in my entire life. I love it.
Okay. I have three fans in my room.
Woo! Oh, geez. Dad joke. We'll try to keep our dad jokes to a minimum, but we can't guarantee that won't happen. Anyways, all right. DHH Miggy, he's one of our mates there over at Dynasty Happy Hour, ask which running back will be the first running back off the board in a somewhat stacked wide receiver class 2019.
I do think it's funny that a all-conference defensive back is asking about running backs in a draft. For you, Miggy, I would have to say my two running backs I'm really excited about. David Montgomery, I'm still excited about out of Iowa State. I really think he's still going to project well. He's shown the pass-catching ability, I think, the best out of anybody in this upcoming draft, which is always tough to see out of college running backs just because they don't do it as much as they do in the NFL. Another one I'm really looking forward to watching and climb up the ranks and the boards, I think, is going to be Benny Snell. He has played very well. He had 160 yards last week against a tough Vanderbilt defense. Both of those are the two I'm thinking are going to be headlining this class when we talk back in or ahead in April.
Yeah, I 100% agree with David Montgomery. He's one that is also just so much fun to watch. Like, this year has been rough. He's been hit behind the line probably more than me if I was try to run behind that line. He's had a rough year, but he's the talent, his balance, and the way he shifts directions is unreal. He's so much fun to watch. The next question was from Top Dog Dynasty. He asked, which running backs will we be looking forward to targeting in drafts in 2020 then?
I would have to say that the ones I'm most looking forward to in 2020 are going to be the aforementioned Jonathan Taylor and J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio State. I think both of them are going to continue. Taylor, I hope they don't take legs off of him just because he had the giant workload as a freshman, and we've seen that with running backs in the past. We can remember back to Kevin Smith at UCF coming into the NFL with, I think, over 1,000 carries in a college career which back then seemed like a lot, but now I'm hoping they don't use him nearly as much. And then also, too, with J.K. Dobbins, with Weber leaving this year being a senior, I think his workload's going to explode next year, and we might even see that Zeke Elliott rise out of an Ohio State running back again.
Etienne's got to be on that list, and then you can't forget about Cam Akers. He's been one of the most highly touted running back prospects that we've ever seen, but he's just been in a bad situation at Florida State behind a bad offensive line, wrote a quarterback situation that was just crap last year and not much better this year. I mean, I like Francois a lot, but he's definitely got some growing to do. So I think Cam Akers could still, just on raw talent, make it in the first round next year. Our last question from our DHH editor, Jacob Henry. He asks, can we rank players by hair? So I'm guessing Jacob is bald, but
yeah, I haven't seen Jacob's flowing locks, if he has any. Again, not to rub salt in the wound for your Dwight. I think best hair in college has to go to the beautiful golden locks of Chase Winovich at Michigan. I think a close second is the young stud down in Clemson, Trevor Lawrence. But Chase Winovich, he makes people his little brother.
I think him and Clay Matthews are going to have head and shoulders commercials in a couple years here. He's got a lot of that same playing style, even that just reckless, you know, just it's kind
he's
of
a
it's
wrecking fun. Ball.
Yeah, it's fun to watch him. I'd rather watch him against other teams, but yeah, he's definitely fun to watch.
A couple more months. Tough enough.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I'm fine. It's the season's over, man. And that lastly, we got our final word, man. Andrew, you have any last things to say to the people?
Gator Chomp, Mr. Two Bits. I'm going full fanboy out on my Gators. I know we're supposed to say unbiased, but got my Florida Gators. I'm really hoping they can pull the upset this weekend. If they don't, then you can make all the Gator jokes next week. But hopefully they don't go out on their shield like the Spartans did.
Nah, it's all right, man. Florida's already aspired to way more than you guys ever would have dreamed of this year.
Absolutely.
I don't think anybody expects them to beat Georgia, which makes them very, very dangerous, I think.
Yeah, and I think Georgia might be looking ahead, too, to SEC title game with Alabama. Especially we've seen that all year with them putting Fields in.
Yeah, as far as my final word, I'm just looking forward to some football this weekend, guys. Like, there's the Iowa and Penn State game, and I want to watch some football. I'm almost through. I work a job every Saturday during the summer, and I'm almost through it, so where I can finally sit down and enjoy some Saturday football. You know, my Spartans are done this year. I mean, Lewerke's hurt. They have a great wide receiver duo that's both out for the rest of the year. So I'm just ready to just watch some football and enjoy it, man. So Andrew, tell the people where they can find you, man.
They can find me and my work over at the Dynasty Happy Hour. My Twitter handle is at @DHH_Mandrew. One last thing I would like to plug here, too. As we're recording this right beforehand, I did set up a GoFundMe for a family friend who is in the military, was stationed down at the base that was destroyed by Hurricane Michael last month. They lost everything, and they have a little girl, and they're going back and forth between couches and houses with friends and family, and I think all of our service men and women help us out daily. I think anything we could do to help them would be greatly appreciated. The GoFundMe link is in my Twitter account. It's at the very top, and it's a pinned tweet. So if you have any questions about it or would like to donate, everything would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, please do that if you can. $5, $10, anything helps. One day we might be in that same situation ourselves, and it's always good to help when we can. So thanks for that, Andrew.
Yeah.
As for myself, you can find me at FF People's Champ. I write for Dynasty Happy Hour and the Fantasy Authority when I have time. I've been writing much lately, unfortunately. I didn't mention the pod. We have our own Twitter handle here. It's at DeviManual, and an email address is DeviOwnersManual@gmail.com. Feel free to shoot us any questions, send us pictures of your lineups. Let me know if you want us to, if you have just questions about some Devi players you're not sure of, just make sure you just send us a tweet. Let us know, man. We're definitely here for you at all times. We also want to give a big shout-out to Gabe Gearing, FF Man Bun. He's got us this kick-ass new intro. I'm blessed to have this show and blessed to have met Andrew, and hopefully we can bring you guys a lot more content like this. So that's all I have for this week. Andrew, anything else?
Nope. Have a good weekend. Enjoy football, everyone.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
Don't forget about the Mountain West. The Mac that can flex. Sunbelt is next. Ivy League fresh. Literally, though. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of players to test. I'm serious. They will talk about the most obscure players on this planet. Potentially another planet. Like, dude's got a 4340 from Mars. Like, I don't know. It's too much. I'm done. I'm gone this time. Like, don't bring it back in. Enjoy your podcast.